My pronunciation is getting better slowly. If you would like translation and you don't have an earpiece, then we can make sure that you get one. So if you would like translation, I believe that Bill is translating. Can we thank Bill? Bless him. We really appreciate that you're doing that. Before I bring the words, I just want to, if you bring the Facebook group up. Oh, I may need just to come to the back very quickly to find the right page. So this is the Gate Facebook group. I'm hoping that it'll... So we have a group that's a church group, and I would love to give you the opportunity to join that group. Here we go. Oh, no, I don't want to put what's on my mind. Cancel. Search. The Gate. Okay. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. We have a Facebook group that you can join if you are part of the Gate family. And in that group, you find out lots of wonderful news about what is going on in the church. And at the moment, we are having some amazing fundraising activities for the rebuilding of the church building, which is in Tilehurst. And if you want to join in, you are more than welcome to. We're, as part one of the activities, we are walking from Reading to Zimbabwe in the month of June. And that distance is 7,012 miles. Now, we're not literally walking to Africa. We're just trying to cover that distance and asking people to sponsor us. So if you would love to join in that activity, we would love you to join us, and you can do that. But if you've got your phone with you, I'm going to allow you, get your phone out. Search for the Gate. Not the Gate Reading, the Gate. And it'll come up with a group. And if you put a request in right now to join that group, we will add you, I will add you later on today. Okay? But that's a great place to find out what's going on across the whole of the church. And we share news and testimony and just wonderful things. So we would love you, if you want to join the Gate group. It's not the page, not the Gate Reading page, or the Gate Sindlesham page. It's the Gate group, which is for members only, church attenders only. Great stuff. Okay. If I could get the PowerPoint up on the screen, that would be wonderful. We are going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. Now, when we planned the rota for preaching, this subject just happened to fall into today. We didn't plan it that way. And today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the day that we remember that the Holy Spirit came, and the church, this is the church's birthday. So who can say, happy birthday, church? Happy birthday, church. It's the church's birthday that we are celebrating today, because it was on Pentecost Sunday that the church as we know it was truly born. And that's why we've got to really pay very close attention to what happened that day. Next slide, please. I want to remind you of something that I've been saying every time I've had the opportunity to speak about this. And it's this. Jesus said in John chapter 16, sorry, my notes have disappeared, which isn't helpful. Oh, my app's decided to do an update. Wonderful. John 16 says, I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus talking. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of God, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Everybody say, all the truth. Not some of the truth. All of the truth. Just go back to that first slide. When he comes, he will guide you to all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Next slide. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All, everyone say all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Okay, next slide. You've already seen this. I want you to repeat this after me. All the truth. All that belongs to the Father. It all belongs to Jesus. The Spirit makes it known to us. Right, now I want you to point to yourself. Point to yourself. Okay, this is about you. Let's say it again. All the truth. All that belongs to the Father. It all belongs to Jesus. The Spirit makes it known to me. Holy Spirit, he has a very key job. He takes from what now belongs to Jesus. And Jesus says that he has received all things from the Father. He makes it very clear as he's speaking to his disciples in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit has a job of taking what belonged to the Father. The Father has given it to Jesus, and Jesus says, I will make it known to you, or to me. That is an incredible thing, that the Holy Spirit would minister to each one of us in that way. He has an extremely important role in this world. Next slide, please. We've been celebrating the 70 years that Queen Elizabeth has been on the throne. And we know that she is a woman of incredible faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith has shone through the whole of these 4 days that we have been celebrating her reign. You keep hearing it again and again, that she feels that her being queen is about God giving her a responsibility to serve this nation. She is an incredible woman. This picture is a picture of her coronation, the day on which she was crowned queen. And this is the most significant moment, the most important moment in the whole of the coronation. Because this is where she is anointed to become queen. And it is the only moment in the whole of the coronation that is hidden, that you don't see, because this canopy that you see is put over her. And she is anointed with oil. And Queen Elizabeth herself has described this moment as the moment that was most important to her. Why? Because when she was anointed, she knew that she was given the authority to be queen. Not just because she was born into the royal family. No. This was the moment where she was anointed. She was given the authority from God to be everything that she needed to be. If you do have your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 61. We're just going to read a couple of verses together. They're on the screen, so don't worry if you don't have your Bibles with you. Reading from verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Such an amazing prophetic scripture that Isaiah gave hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born. Jesus himself, in Luke chapter 4, he went into the synagogue and he opened this very scripture and he read it just as we have read it just now. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. Jesus himself, if you read verse 1, says the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me Jesus made the qualification of his ministry. Jesus said, "This is what makes me able to do everything that I am about to do. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the Holy Spirit, is upon me. And he has anointed me. He has given me authority." Just like the picture of Queen Elizabeth receiving the anointing, the authority to be queen. Jesus said, "I am being anointed to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year of the Lord's favor, that is a reference to the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament. The time in which all who were slaves were meant to be set free. Jesus was saying, "I am anointed to come and set every person that is captive free." But what did that look like for Jesus? Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Next slide, please. This is a description of what happened when Jesus was baptized. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You've got to remember, brothers and sisters, every time you see something happening to Jesus in your Bibles, it means that the same thing can happen to every single one of us. Because Jesus came to make a way for you. He came to make a way for you to come back to the Father, to repent, to turn away from your sin, because of what we've just celebrated in taking communion, his death and his resurrection. Jesus came to make a way for you to return to the Father. But that is the beginning. That's not the end. That is the start of the journey, not the finish. No, Jesus came to make a way for you in everything. The reason that we in this church go through the waters of baptism is because Jesus went through the waters of baptism. The reason that we can receive the Holy Spirit is because Jesus himself received the Holy Spirit. Joanna was so right when she said a few moments ago that when we gave our lives to Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit of what is yet to come. Now, part of that means, yes, one day we will be with Jesus in glory. But there is a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in each one of us. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes in us. But I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit wants to come on you. Just like he came on Jesus. And remember, Jesus made this his validation for his ministry. Why he could do everything that he could do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, on me, because he has anointed me. Remember, brothers and sisters, as Jesus spoke with his disciples, he said, "You need to do everything that I have been doing." But Jesus wouldn't be cruel, would he? And say, well, you've got to do it without the Holy Spirit, because only I can have the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, I am going back to my Father in heaven, and I am going to send to you the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29, next slides. Again, this amazing prophetic picture with the word all. And afterwards, I will pour my Spirit out on all. Does it say some people? No. Does it say all people? Yes. Are you all people? Some of you look confused. Are you part of all? Yes. That means that the Holy Spirit, he wants to pour out on you. Repeat after me. The Holy Spirit, he wants to pour out on me, and I would like that. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. If you're in your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Because Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the day of the church's birth, the day that we are celebrating today, repeated that exact scripture from Joel and said, remember to all who were gathered what the prophet Joel said to us, I will pour out my Spirit on. Let's try it again. I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh, all people, and you and I, brothers and sisters, we are part of all. You cannot Well, you can if you want to. You shouldn't. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should not exclude yourself from what the Holy Spirit would want to do in your life. Because as we reminded ourselves at the start, He has some very significant work. The scripture says that He convicts the world of sin and unrighteousness. The scripture says that He leads us, you, me, into all truth. That He takes from what now belongs to Jesus, everything that the Father has given to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, He makes it known to us. And in Acts 2, 38 and 39, next slide, please. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized. If you have never repented and given your life to Jesus Christ fully, I want to say to you today that you should. Why? Because there is a God in heaven who says that you are His son or His daughter, and that He loves you, and He wants a personal relationship with you that was lost when sin came into the world. And Jesus came and He made that way so that we can repent. We can turn around and give our lives to Christ. We can know that we are His sons and His daughters." Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Sometimes that's where we get stuck. We do that bit, but we never actually step into the next part of what Peter said. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, some people would say, well, the Holy Spirit, He's not really at work today. Not in the way He was back then. But the Bible seems to say here, the promise is for you and your children and for all. Are you all? Are you people that were far off? So this is about you. Peter's saying the Holy Spirit is for everybody who will ever believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody, all. I've really noticed over the past few weeks, as we have been talking about the Holy Spirit, that whenever the Holy Spirit is talked about, this word all comes up. All of us are intended to receive the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us can follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. And every single one of us, all of us, can have the Holy Spirit come on us like Jesus had the Holy Spirit come on Him. Now, this is where it starts to get tricky for some of us, because the way that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. It says that he came like a rushing wind. And what seemed like to be tongues of fire touched the heads of the disciples. And they began to speak in other tongues. And what was this contained prayer meeting that was going on in a room? Suddenly it spilled out onto the street. And people from every single nation heard the word of God being spoken in their own tongue. Now notice, it doesn't say that the disciples were actually talking in other languages. No, it says they were speaking in other tongues. But to the people that came and listened, they heard it as their language. I've had testimony. I've heard testimony, and I've been involved in testimony. When this funny thing that we sometimes do in our church, certainly, but in other churches as well, speaking in tongues. When I've started to pray in tongues, and people have heard their language being spoken. They've heard, just like on the day of Pentecost. I remember I used to be part of a missionary organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And I heard this wonderful testimony of a brother who was in Eastern Europe on mission. And he didn't know the language. And so as they were praying before the service, the word came that the translator, the person that could translate from English into, I can't remember which country it was, maybe Hungarian, I think, was not able to come. They'd been taken unwell. And so, of course, everyone looked around at each other like, what are we going to do? And suddenly, they remembered that when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, that they spoke in other tongues, and the people hearing heard it as their own language. And so he said, well, I'm just going to get up onto the platform and I'm going to start speaking in tongues. And so up he got. And off he went. Or whatever tongue it was that he spoke. And he just went on. And he was looking at the people that were gathered to try and get what is happening. But they were all just looking at him. And so he finished. And then he found out that all the people that were gathered had heard what was said in their own language. Why? Not because there was some secret, weird, strange thing that had happened. No. They had believed the Bible. They had taken God at his words. We can sometimes get a bit when we talk about Holy Spirit. We can get a little bit nervous because of this. Just watch the sound level as you put this on, because it was very loud before. I'm going to stand back just in case. Next slide. isn't going to work. It's the arrows, isn't it? Oh. No. It's a good song. Are we going to get it? It didn't quite work. At the end, the man dives into the crowd. Does a stage dive. We sometimes worry that if we are going to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to anoint me, that is what will happen. Next slide. I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit, He works in different ways with each of us. Why? Because He knows every single one of us. Now, for those that are loud and love a really loud party, sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on us, He comes like that first video. And we do start jumping up and down. We do get excited. We start shouting. But then that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened in the Bible. In fact, some people said, these men are drunk. Because the behavior was so strange to them. But I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit, when He comes on us, He can come like this as well. If you're someone quiet, if you're someone that just loves to sit and be with Father God, if you ask the Holy Spirit to come on you, He will come just like this. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that Holy Spirit, He won't suddenly make you do somersaults. If that's what He knows that you need in your life, He actually needs to wake you up. But most of the time, brothers and sisters, I personally, this is how I encounter Holy Spirit. Not with whooping and dancing. No, I encounter Holy Spirit very quietly, very intimately, very closely, because that's who I am. And I think my Father knows. He knows me. And He knows that this is good for me. Now, there have been times in my Christian walk where the other thing has happened. But that has always been because the Holy Spirit grabbed me. Not because I was forced into dancing or shouting. No, but because I was truly grabbed in that moment and something needed to happen in my heart. God needed to shake something out of me. Pride. Unforgiveness. Jealousy. Something needed to be got rid of, and I had this amazing encounter. But most of the time, this is me and how I encounter, receive, how the Holy Spirit comes on me is quietly. And I won't have anyone tell me that that is a lesser experience than the big, loud one, because I know it isn't. Why? Because I know the fruit of my life. And I know the fruit of other people's lives. We see each other's fruit. And if you are producing fruit for Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the Holy Spirit comes on you. It just matters that He does. And you're actually living only half a Christian walk if you never let the Holy Spirit come on you as He came on Jesus. And as Jesus made that way for each one of us. So I want to give an opportunity right now. And the opportunity is this. Later on in Acts, Paul and Peter both have occasions where they come across believers, people who believe in Jesus, who have not yet received the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say that they weren't believers, they were believers. Acts chapter 19, if you're taking notes, great example there. Acts chapter 10, another wonderful example there of where people did not know who believed in Jesus. They didn't know that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we, all of us, can be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, right now. We can all receive because the Spirit poured out on all people, all of us, every single one of us. So I want you to just take a moment, just close your eyes where you are. Now only you know, truly, if you've ever had the baptism of the Holy Spirit as has been described in Scripture for us. Only you know truly if you've ever received the Holy Spirit in that way. It's true. When you got saved, when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came in you as a deposit. But he wants to come on you. Now we're going to be talking about the laying on of hands, I think next week, maybe. Thank you, Joanna. 17th of July. We're going to be talking about the laying on of hands. Now, I believe if you want the Holy Spirit, he will come to you. Because that's how I received him. Not because hands were laid on me, but because I just wanted him. Now, I was all mixed up. I received the Holy Spirit before I got baptized. God seems to not mind jumbling things up, making them in a different order. So if you want the Holy Spirit to come on you today, he will. If you want Joanna, myself, Janet, if you want us to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, we will do that. We will lay hands on you. As the Bible shows, is what Paul and Peter both did with believers. We can do that. But you can receive the Holy Spirit where you are, very quietly, if that's what you would like to do. So, as all eyes are closed, you be honest with yourself and say, have I received this baptism of the Holy Spirit as is described in Scripture? Because that is our plumb line for truth. Scripture, nothing else. Not culture. Not church backgrounds. But Scripture should be our plumb line, our straight path for what the truth is. And if you know that you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I want you to do something very quietly right now. I want you to cup your hands. Just cup your hands where you are. Because that is a gesture of saying, yes, I want this. As I pray right now, I believe the Holy Spirit, he will come on you. So for all those who are cupping their hands right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, and on this day that we are celebrating Pentecost, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come like you did on that day. Pour yourself out onto us. Pour yourself out onto your church. Pour yourself out on us, Holy Spirit. Oh. Shukuri andana basiki arana sandana baki. And if you feel led as the Holy Spirit comes on you, and if you feel something welling up in you, it may well be that he wants to give you new tongues today. And all the disciples did was to open their mouths and speak as the Holy Spirit enabled them. So I'm going to pray in tongues for a few moments. And if you want to join, please feel free. Holy God, Holy Spirit, I know we're running past time, but let's just spend a few more moments. The food, it's all there, it's not going anywhere. But these are precious, precious moments. Holy Spirit, come. Kura baba bariana mama sundariyanda daba kiyara daba sundariyanda. Kiyana nama sundariyanda daba kiyara daba sundariyanda. Shura baba baba baba. Kuro yomu nama sundariyanda daba kiyara daba sundariyanda. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Shukuriyana namasundariyana. Shurababababariyana. Holy Spirit. Two things. One is, if you feel like you have received the Holy Spirit come on you today, then I would love you at some point to let Pastor Joanna or Pastor Mabel know. Just let them know quietly. Yeah, I feel like the Holy Spirit came on me. Because they will be able to help you to understand more of the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. If you know that you're somebody that you need to go away and just think more about what the scriptures say, and that you need to align your life with those scriptures, then please do that. Don't miss out Don't miss out on what Holy Spirit would want to do in you and on you. We'll be here at the end. If you want us to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, very happy to do that. I'm going to pass back to Pastor Joanna to close our time.
Amen.